Topic 44. Naming things. What's in a name? When we're programming, the answer is everything. We create names for applications, subsystems, modules, functions, variables. We are constantly creating new things and bestowing names on them. And those names are very, very important because they reveal a lot about your intent and belief. After all, Confucius said, "The beginning of wisdom is to call things by their proper name." We believe that things should be named according to the role they play in your code. This means that whenever you create something, you need to pause and think, "What is my motivation to create this?" This is a powerful question because it takes you out of the immediate problem-solving mindset and makes you look at the bigger picture. When you consider the role of a variable or function, you're thinking about what is special about it, about what it can do and what it interacts with. Often, we find ourselves realizing that what we were about to do made no sense, all because we couldn't come up with an appropriate name. There's some science behind the idea that names are deeply meaningful. It turns out that the brain can read and understand words really fast, faster than many other activities. This means that words have a certain priority when we try to make sense of something. This can be demonstrated using the Stroop effect. Because it's a visual artifact, we can't show it here. But please, look it up. STROOP, the Stroop effect. The Stroop effect demonstrates that your brain treats written words as something to be respected. We need to make sure the names we use live up to this. Let's look at a couple of examples. We're authenticating people who access our site that sells jewelry made from old graphics cards. Let user equals authenticate credentials. The variable is user because it's always user. But why? It means nothing. How about customer or buyer? That way, we get constant reminders as we code of what this person is trying to do and what that means to us. Another example would be we have an instance method that discounts an order. Public void deduct percent, which takes the parameter double amount. Two things here. First, deduct percent is what it does and not why it does it. Then the name of the parameter amount is at best misleading. Is it an absolute amount, a percentage? Perhaps this would be better. Public void apply discount, percentage discount. The method name now makes its intent clear. We've also changed the parameter from a double to a percentage, a type we've defined. We don't know about you, but when dealing with percentages, we never know if the value is supposed to be between 0 and 100 or 0.0 and 1.0. Using a type documents what the function expects. One more example. We have a module that does interesting things with Fibonacci numbers. One of those things is to calculate the nth number in the sequence. Stop and think what you'd call this function. Most people we ask would call it fib. Seems reasonable, but remember, it will normally be called in the context of its module. So the call would be fib.fibn. How about calling it of or nth instead? Fib.of, 0. Fib.nth, 20. When naming things, you're constantly looking for ways of clarifying what you mean, and that act of clarification will lead you to a better understanding of your code as you write it. However, not all names have to be candidates for a literary prize. While we strive for clarity in code, branding is a different matter entirely. There's a well-established tradition that projects and project teams should have obscure, clever names. Names of Pokemon, Marvel superheroes, cute mammals, Lord of the Rings characters, you name it. Literally. Honor the culture. Most introductory computer texts will admonish you never to use single-letter variables such as I, J, or K. We think they're wrong. Sort of. In fact, it depends on the culture of that particular programming language or environment. In the C programming language, I, J, and K are traditionally used as loop increment variables. S is used for a character string, and so on. If you program in that environment, that's what you're used to seeing, and it would be jarring, and hence wrong, to violate that norm. On the other hand, using that convention in a different environment where it's not expected is just as wrong. Some language communities prefer camel case with embedded capital letters, while others prefer snake case with embedded underscores to separate words. The languages themselves will, of course, accept either, but that doesn't make it right. Honor the local culture. Some languages allow a subset of Unicode in names. Get a sense of what the community expects before going all cute with names with upside-down letters or the Greek alphabet. Consistency. Emerson is famous for writing, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds." But Emerson wasn't on a team of programmers. Every project has its own vocabulary. Jargon words that have a special meaning to the team. Order means one thing to a team creating an online store and something very different to a team whose app charts the lineage of religious groups. It's important that everyone on the team knows what these words mean and that they use them consistently. One way is to encourage a lot of communication. If everyone pair programs, and pairs switch frequently, then jargon will spread osmotically. Another way is to have a project glossary, listing the terms that have special meaning to the team. This is an informal document possibly maintained on a wiki, possibly just index cards on a wall somewhere. After a while, the project jargon will take on a life of its own. As everyone gets comfortable with the vocabulary, you'll be able to use the jargon as a shorthand, expressing a lot of meaning accurately and concisely. By the way, this is exactly what a pattern language is. Renaming is even harder. No matter how much effort you put in up front, things change. Code is refactored, usage shifts, meaning becomes subtly altered. If you aren't vigilant about updating names as you go, you can quickly descend into a nightmare much worse than meaningless names. Misleading names. Have you ever had someone explain inconsistencies in code such as the routine called getData really writes data to an archive file? As we discuss in Software Entropy, when you spot a problem, fix it. Right here and now. When you see a name that no longer expresses the intent or is misleading or confusing, fix it. You've got full regression tests, so you'll spot any instances you may have missed. Tip 74. Name well. Rename when needed. If for some reason you can't change the now wrong name, then you've got a bigger problem, an ETC violation, like we talked about in The Essence of Good Design. Fix that first, then change the offending name. Make renaming easy, and do it often. Otherwise, you'll have to explain to the new folks on the team that get data really writes data to a file, and you'll have to do it with a straight face. Here's a few challenges. When you find a function or method with an overly generic name, try and rename it to express all the things it really does. Now it's an easier target for refactoring. In our examples, we suggested using more specific names such as buyer instead of the more traditional and generic user. What other names do you habitually use that could be better? Are the names in your system congruent with user terms from the domain? If not, why? Does this cause a Stroop effect-style cognitive dissonance for the team? Are names in your system hard to change? What can you do to fix that particular broken window?